Going to get started here in the Media Center with our post-race media availabilities from today's Busch Clash at Daytona. We are joined by the crew chief of the race-winning car, which was the number 20 Sport Clips Toyota, with Eric Jones behind the wheel. We have Chris Gale up here. We will open it up to questions for the crew chief. Please raise your hand. We will get a wireless microphone to you.
It's going to be perfect. Easy.
Start in the back with Ken.
What are you going to do with this car? Is there anything you can do with this car?
No, not really. To be honest with you, we have an allotment of cars we can use this year. Actually, the Clash car is not counted in the allotment, so they're pretty much junk after this race. So we were joking around in Victory Lane. I think Jones is going to get this. We did like a whole retro Terry Labonte crashed car in Victory Lane kind of photo. So I think he's going to get Coach to give it to him probably.
We're also joined by the owner of Joe Gibbs Racing, Coach Gibbs. We'll continue with questions. We'll go to Jeff here in the middle and then Jordan.
Jeff Gluck from The Athletic. Chris, is there a way to say, like, how many laps of this car have left in it if you're just going to run on its own?
Not many, because it was running way hot. And we had just kind of decided that last caution. We were going to come back down with the one to go and pull grill tape, but it was running too hot, and we're like, we don't have a shot to win the race if we do that. So, who cares? If it doesn't make it, it doesn't make it. So we had kind of committed to that. So who knows?
Jordan Bianca, The Athletic. This question is for both of you guys. We saw it again today. The manufacturers lining up in racing. Was that the plan in your camp today of going into this race of we need to stick together? Was there a concentrated effort, I guess?
Yeah, I think we all do what we can to help each other as teammates, you know what I mean? And so I think from our standpoint, we always do that until the end of the race, you know what I mean? So it's yes, that was the plan. Where we got kind of off sequence and screwed up is when we slid through our box and then we wound up losing a lap. So then we kind of got stuck with three of them out there by themselves and us kind of a lap down. So then that's kind of when the plan changed.
I think it was easier today, too, with fewer cars to try and get together. The problem is you'd like to do that in the 500, but there's so much going on. And, I think you like to work together, but it rarely works out.
Yeah, there was, seven Fords, seven Chevys, and four Toyotas. So the numbers were more even today than they're going to be next week.
Go to Dustin.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Chris, I wanted to ask you about qualifying. We have seen, especially last year, the Toyotas were not as fast in qualifying. Obviously, the race result turned out well. But was there a concerted effort to find more speed after feeling comfortable about race setup? And how important is that in kind of maybe you feel like you need to dictate things when you have fewer numbers?
Yeah, I think it goes back to Talladega last fall. We didn't feel like we had as good of cars as we needed as a group. I think the 20 car qualified the best of the Toyota bunch at that race, and we kind of found something that we thought we could tweak on in the offseason and improve. But we definitely I haven't looked at the average numbers, but we're definitely better than we have been qualifying here for these races. The faster cars win, right? They may not always win, but the numbers are going to show that they win, and they're going to be in better positions in the race to use runs and clear somebody, when they're faster. And so we have made a concerted effort to just make our program better qualifying without hurting race trim.
Come here to the far right to Hill, and then we'll go to Jenna.
Hill Overton over here, Coach, WNDB Radio. Do you feel like maybe Daytona is kind of a special place that you are destined after the great win you had here last February with Denny and now the way things are falling? This place has been a real blessing for you and your team. How do you feel about destiny and all that's happening?
Well, certainly Daytona is a special place. And it holds a special place for us because when we first got in racing, our first year, we didn't win anything and we're kind of second guessing, do we belong here? Is this too big for us? And we won that Daytona 593, and I think that kind of got our race team started. So it was a special place. But then we went like 20-something years without winning it. And so it is a special place for us. The thing I was going to say today, it was a classic example. That was one of the wildest things I've ever been in, racing. And it was a classic example of two crew chiefs and two drivers that really refused to quit. Denny, after that, the bad wreck there for him the last time, they said, should we go to the garage? And both of them, Denny said, no, keep working on it. And Chris said, yeah, okay. And then Eric on this side with Chris, it really was an example of just not quitting, because everything in the world happened. I said, I don't know what the fans will say about that, but I think they're going to sure talk about it, because it was wild. And that was something, it was just a rare experience. That may never happen again.
We'll go to Jenna and then Bob.
Jenna Fryer, AP. Hey, Coach, 2019 was an outstanding year for the organization. And so far, 2020 has been an outstanding year for Joe Gibbs. You had the Hall of Fame last week, and then you were on field at the Super Bowl just a couple days later. And now, a week later, you're in victory lane. Have you had time to reflect on this, like, magical, you know, 365 days for you and your organization?
Now, I said that I felt like last year that was, you know, everything with JD and everything that happened in that 500 was the greatest victory I've been a part of, and so emotional for our family. And then I think that kind of carried through during the year. What I really messed up on at that speech, the acceptance speech, I left out a lot of people that meant so much to us, and I'm going to try and correct that. But is, yeah, well,
you got some time, don't you?
real quick, I see some of you are going to sleep. But Don Meredith, close friend of mine, started a race team with Jimmy Makar. My son, JD, and his two friends, Todd Meredith, Don's son, and Dave Alpern, they were the three amigos that came in there just coming out of college, and nobody even knew what they'd do, and they wound up playing huge roles for us. And then there were so many other people there that I kind of left out. But in any case, I'm going to try and take care of that. But today really was, I don't know how to put it really in words. It was kind of crazy. It looks like everybody's totally tore up our four cars. At one point, people in our pit said, we're done. Everybody said, we're done. People that were standing there. So it was a rare experience. I think it was, you know, two drivers and two crew chiefs that just refused to quit.
Is it surreal at all to wear two Hall of Fame jackets
in
48 hours?
Yeah, it was. And I really didn't do as good a job as what I wanted to. When you get pushed up front like that, this is a huge team sport. And then football was a team sport. So if you think about that, yeah, you have a role in it, you fight hard, you try and do what you can do to help the team. But there's so many people that put our race team where it is. And certainly, I was just a part of it. So I get shoved up front. I get an award and all that. That really, when I reflect on it, it's all the people that put you there. And it was the same thing on the football side. So many people to make it go. When you think about the number of people that work on an NFL team, it's pretty close to what we have. And it's all those people that put you there. And so I don't think I did a very good job of really making that point.
We'll go to Bob and then Tim.
I'm Bob Packers, Fox Sports. I have two for Chris. You guys kind of had the high going into the last year's playoffs with the win at Darlington, and then you had the playoffs. Did you guys need this win maybe more than others in the field just for psyche?
I don't know about psyche for this one particularly, obviously, it was chaotic and a lot of things could have happened, and it was a circumstantial win with how it all played out, right? In the offseason, did we spend a lot of time reflecting and talking and thinking about things we could do better? Absolutely. Do we want to be the fourth best JGR team? No, and we were. And so we have done a lot of things differently and looking at things differently to be better, you know? And then, so I think that's it. You know, I think if you look at our day, too, like we have three new people on the team in different places, you know, pit crew, car chief, different things. And so we kind of went in today with a plan that, hey, if we get damaged, we're going to keep working on this all day. This is practice for us. This is practice when it's going to really matter next week and the week after. So we did a lot of those kind of things today. And I think that's what helped us keep working on it all day.
And in a race like this where you're allowed to work under the red flag, should you be allowed to, if under the red, to drive to pit road to work under it? Because the way the policy is, if you're stopped for a red flag, you can't drive to pit road or else your day's done. So there are guys on pit road working on the car, and then there are guys
out there that can't work. Yeah, I I understand that side of it. And I think to make it fair to the competitors, yes. However, I don't know how you safely do that in all situations, right? That's the problem, is the workers and everything out, and I don't know whether you'd put someone else in jeopardy. But I agree with you. From a competitor side, you'd all like the equal amount of time to work on the cars.
Go to Tim.
As for Coach, Tim Packman, Kicking the Tires Out Net. In light of the torn up equipment you have today, from a financial standpoint, how much did it cost you to win that race today?
People were laughing.
I don't think he wants to check that out. I don't
people
think
were laughing about that in the winner's circle. I said, yeah, I don't know what the number was. It was a big number to win a trophy, I think. Yeah,
six sets of tires.
We were all kind of laughing about that, and we were joking, you know, about. But, I, you know, for me, yeah, that's part of what we do. Daytona does have a tendency to, you know, cost you a lot because we bring good stuff. And believe me, we really work on it hard, and it's our biggest race. We spend 2 months, really, in a lot of ways, getting ready for it. And so in some ways, that may not make sense, but it's so important. It's so important to our sponsors. If you think about this, one of the greatest things about today was Sport Clips. When they get with Eric, for some reason, they have a Gordon and Sport Clips. Think about that as a sponsor. He's been with us now 9 years. And that means so much to him and his company. And that's a part of our sport that you can't just – that is a huge part of what we do. And it's important for Eric, of course, to win and for all of us. But our sponsors are just a huge part of our sport. And they really are partners. They're in the race. The whole race, Sport Clips is going around with TV. And at the end, TV in the winner's circle. So it was a huge deal from that standpoint. I called him and talked to him. He was thrilled.
We're going to go to Kelly and wrap up questions for Coach and Chris before we move on to Eric.
Kelly Crandall, racer.com. Coach, you said a few times at the end of last year that the way 2019, the success played out, was kind of unusual to have a season like that. Yeah. But given that, you know, same drivers, same crew chiefs, there's a parts freeze this year, so it's basically the same. Is there any reason to believe that you guys can't do what you did last year to match that level of success?
I just think that there was so much that we were able to do last year that went our way, you know, to win the Daytona 500, win the championship, and everything that went in between. That's just really hard in pro sports. You dream about it. You hope we can do it. We've worked that way to try and do it. But being realistic about it, I don't think many people would give us odds to be able to duplicate that.
Go to Jerry.
Jerry Jordan, KickingTheTires.net. Now you're on the spot. Eric's here. Does he get the car?
This one, we may give it to him. I get that. Yeah, I don't think we want that back.
All right. Do we have any additional questions for Coach or Chris? All right, gentlemen. Congratulations.
Thank you. Good
luck. Yeah. Thanks.
And we are joined by our race winner, Eric Jones, who drove that number 20 Sport Clips Toyota to Victory Lane. We will open up to questions for Eric. We'll start here with Jeff.
Eric, so Denny's behind you. You know, he's damaged. You're damaged, obviously. What are you thinking as he's pushing? I mean, what are you trying to do there?
Well, you know, when the 42 and I kind of started swapping back and forth there coming to the white, I was like, man, we're probably out of it now. I was so slow by myself with all the damage. I just started looking for the 11. I knew he was out there, and I figured my spotter had told me he would help us out. So I'm just kind of looking for him, and he started getting ahead of steam, and he started pushing me, and I'm like, I don't know if we're going to get going fast enough to even catch him because we were both pretty damaged, and we started getting a little momentum. I started getting a little sniff air off those guys in front of me, and we got a good run off of two, and I'm like, oh, we're going to get there. We just got to anticipate the block. And those guys were so focused on each other that we started passing them, and I'm like, oh, okay, and we just kept going. So I was like, hell yeah, I mean, we're going to win the race. So it was really cool. It was a strange race, obviously, from a lot of aspects, craziest race I've ever been in, let alone won, and definitely the most damaged car I've won with. But, you know, just when he started pushing I had it to the floor. That's as much as my car had, you know, with all the damage, and I was just hoping we could get enough momentum to at least have a shot to get back to the front.
Go to Lewis and then Hill.
Lewis Torres, Motorsports Reviewed. So, David Pearson and Terry Labonte won in wrecked race cars. You're now one in a wrecked race car. What was the mindset that you had in just surviving this and kept on going to get this biggest win? Is this the biggest win of your career up to this moment?
I don't know if it's the biggest win, but definitely the one of the coolest. I mean, just from an aspect that me and my friends will laugh about this one for a long time, you know, looking back at it and wondering how we won. You know, we got in that first wreck, and I was like, well, we'll keep going. We don't have too much damage. And we got in the second wreck. I was like, all right, well, let's keep going. I think we can fix it again. We got in the third wreck, and I was like, man, it's pretty tore up. And Rick's or Chris said, well, let's bring it in. We'll look at it. And they thought they could patch it back up. And I went back out, and I said, yeah, I can still make laps. So, you know, there was no reason for us. As long as the thing could keep making left turns and had power, you know, we were going to keep going. I mean, this race just nothing to lose, right? You know, we don't have to. There was only 5-6 cars out there, so I thought, man, if I'm in it, I got a shot. Everybody's got damage, so just pushing to the end and just hoping to still be in it and hoping people would keep taking each other out and eliminating each other, and we would have a shot, which, you know, we did, and it worked out.
Go to Hill and then Mark.
Over here. Eric Hill Overton, WNDB Radio. In your heart of hearts, looking back at it, when the cars were all intact, you were running the earlier part, the mid portions of the race. What was your assessment of what you think your position would be at the end? Did you feel you had the car capable of going all the way to win, or no?
You know, it's hard to say. I never really I raced a little bit at the start and then slid through the pit box one lap down, and I was like, well, you know, hopefully we get your caution, get the lucky dog, and we did. And I thought we had good speed. I mean, it takes a lot of things to go your way to win here. Honestly, putting in that lucky dog position kind of helped us. We were able just to lay back, and they all wrecked each other once, so I missed that one, fortunately. You know, it's hard to say. I don't know. I think we had a car good enough, you know, to win if we would have been up there and in position. We just, most of the race, we weren't really pushing yet in the position where everybody did start pushing and racing. We were a lap down. So I don't know. It's tough to say. It really is. I think we were probably fast enough looking back at practice and the speed we had, but never really got to test it out in race conditions to see.
Go to Mark.
Mark Garrow, PRN. Eric, you just talked about, okay, the first wreck, second wreck, third wreck. So you know your car is damaged. But when you got into victory lane, got out, were you surprised about the damage and thought, holy smokes?
Yeah, I was. You know, I knew it was pretty tore up. I mean, I could see the hood, but I didn't know the nose was so busted in until I saw it. We recreated the Terry Labonte picture with our crew, so I'm excited to see how that turned out. But it was pretty busted up. I've won with some beat up cars, you know, racing short tracks, but they never quite looked like that. So it was it's one I'll always remember. I hope I can talk Coach into giving me his car. I don't think he really wants that one back. So maybe I can put that one. That's one I'd love to have and look back at.
I was just going to follow up by, you know, even as damaged as it is, that one you'd really like to just slide into a garage somewhere.
Just the story of it. You know, that's the story that I'll tell forever, just because it was such a unique race. And in my book, I was just laughing a lot of the time at the end because, number one, I couldn't believe we were even still going. Number two, that we were up front and having a shot. So it was just a fun race. There's nothing to lose, right? And I was having a great time. So I'd love to have that car and be able to point it out and tell the story of it.
Rowdy Maglite with Rowdy Maglite Racing. Eric, do you think after watching today's race that the tandem racing may be back for the 500?
Not probably the whole race. I think at the end, if you get a restart, I would expect it. You know, I think it's possible now with the package. The cars just punch such a big hole in the air now. You can get all the way to people's bumpers with pretty minimal effort from both driver. You know, as long as the lead guy gives you a little bit of brake drag and you can lock on, you stay locked on for a long time. You know, it made it easy at the end. Like I said, we had so much damage, I didn't have to drag any brake. It was just very slow, so Denny could push me. But I would expect to see it in the 500 if you're in a situation late with a restart that you could see some tandem racing.
Any additional questions for a race winner? All right, Eric. Well, congratulations. Good luck next week.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.